Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
On a Monday, we get going. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Welcome into the program. Got you till 8 o'clock this evening. We have a busy show, as we normally do. And this kind of begins, I always, when people ask me about my job, I always tell them I have two separate jobs. I have the job that I do when the Cardinals are in season, so during baseball season, and it's a lot of late nights, and it's pregames, and it's postgames, and it's being at the ballpark, and it's being in the clubhouse, yada, 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 with the occasional two-hour show thrown in there at night on days of Cardinals day games and Cardinals off days. And then I have my Cardinals off-season job, and that is where I am hosting a sports program every single night, just about, and that's what we're doing. I believe we have Thursday Night Football this week, but outside of that, we'll have Sports Open Line every night this week, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And today and tomorrow are, I think, days that we're talking a lot of Cardinals, and we're talking a lot about what was said at press conferences during the day. So tomorrow is going to be, with all due respect to John Mozeliak, and we'll talk a lot about what Mo had to say today, with all due respect to today's press conference with the outgoing president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, tomorrow's press conference has a lot more intrigue to it when incoming president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom, is going to speak. And for those of you who have not heard, we're going to have full coverage tomorrow. We're going to run the press conference starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and it'll probably go somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes. And then after that, we're going to have the entire KMOX sports team gather, and we are going to be rolling on all the way to 1 o'clock in the afternoon talking through what we heard from Chaim Bloom. So that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock tomorrow is going to be full coverage of the Chaim Bloom press conference. Of course, they'll talk about it a little bit during the Dave Glover show, and then we'll be back doing Rush Hour Sports and also Sports Open Line tomorrow evening and continuing to talk through it. So what we're telling you is we got you covered. We've got you fully covered tomorrow when it comes to that. As far as today, the Mo press conference, I don't think there's anything like groundbreaking that was said. I appreciated his gratitude for being in that position and to the appreciation of the folks that he has been able to be around all these years. I appreciated his pride of what the vast majority of his tenure looked like. I appreciated his candor in saying that it's time for a new voice and that he sensed that. Of everything that was said, I thought there was a lot of interesting things that were said. But there was only one thing that was said that like piqued my interest in terms of what this thing is going to look like moving forward. Because Mo said, essentially, I'm paraphrasing. And by the way, we'll in our second hour, we've got a couple guests on today. I should probably tell you what's coming up on the show. That would make sense. In about 10 minutes or so, our friend Brendan Schaefer from writes for KMOV, also writes for STL Sports Central and does some of their video content as well. Brendan's going to be with us in like 10 minutes or so. And then just after the 7 o'clock news, Chris Gervino from Mizzou is going to be with us. We'll talk all things Mizzou football with him coming up. But we'll mostly be baseball today coming off the John Mozeliak press conference. The thing that he said today that I most kind of glommed onto as, okay, that's notable, because I know he's part of the planning, I know it's not like every time that the DeWitt's called in Heim Bloom to talk about what the organization is going to look like moving forward, and Rob Serfolio was there and other people were there. It's not like John Mozeliak was asked to leave the room, right? Like he's been part of the planning process of what things are going to look like moving forward. So I think it was John Denton from MLB.com, Cardinals.com, who asked Mo about never rebuilding. And he recited a quote that Mo had said a number of years ago about, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals don't rebuild. And Mo said that he was proud of the fact that in his entire tenure, they never went through a full, legit rebuild. Now, we can argue what this year was. They worked really, really hard not to call it a rebuild. Reset, rebuild, a reset, retool, runway, like all the other R words. They didn't call it a rebuild. But assuming this thing goes down the path that I expect it to go down, we're going to be able to really say this was the first domino being pushed down for a rebuild. They were in a rebuild. But they were also, they had some veterans that stuck around. They were competitive for much of the year. They got off to a nice start, especially in the month of May. All these things were absolutely true. So Mo's point was that they hadn't been under, they hadn't gone through a rebuild under his regime. But then he added on, that might change. I'm paraphrasing, but you'll hear the quote later on. That might change, based off what you're going to hear tomorrow. If the Cardinals are like staying the course, if the Cardinals are feeling like they can compete next year, if the Cardinals are planning on keeping these veteran players and a bunch of other guys around and they're looking at the standings and saying, hey, you know what? This team wasn't that far away from being a postseason club. You just got to tweak here, tweak there, and everything's going to be good. If that's the plan moving forward, I don't think Mo is sitting here saying, you might hear something different tomorrow. That was unprompted. You might hear something different tomorrow. And a lot of times what I do and what people who listen to other people talk do is we listen for the cues on if you read between the lines, what might actually be said. Now, we can also just wait 24 hours and we can get the answer tomorrow. And we don't have to like surmise anything, but part of the job is to talk through this. So today was Mo. And I did think that the most important thing he said was, you might hear something different tomorrow. Because I have long thought, and when I say long thought, I mean for the past few weeks, month plus, when it became pretty evident that this Cardinals team just wasn't, they didn't do the thing, they had an opportunity. Let me put it this way. The Cardinals had an opportunity this year with this group to show that they could just retool, they could just reset, that this group could take a step forward and they could perform at a high level and maybe they were closer to where the organization wanted to be than they thought they were. And we learned this year that that's just not the case. They had a negative run differential by a bunch. They had a lot of things that were just not good and they don't compare to a lot of other very good teams in Major League Baseball. And now they're going to try to do some things to get themselves back to that point. And as painful as it might be, and it's going to be painful for many Cardinals fans, as painful as it might be, I think their plan is going to be to strip this thing down pretty good and a path to try to get as much talent into the organization as possible that eventually they can win at a pretty high level. We'll hear from Heim Bloom tomorrow. We'll get more of an idea. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong tomorrow. I never have a hard time telling you when I'm wrong. I don't get everything right, but that's the way I view it. That's the way I see it. And we'll know for sure tomorrow at 10, a little bit after 10 o'clock in the morning when Heim Bloom starts talking. Brendan Schaefer was with me over at Busch Stadium today for the John Mozeliak press conference. We'll get his thoughts on what was said and what he's expecting out of the Heim Bloom press conference tomorrow. That's coming up. We'll talk with Brendan coming up after this break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Graybar Sports Overline on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly with you till 8 o'clock this evening, talking through the John Mozeliak press conference from earlier today. Also looking forward to the Heim Bloom press conference coming up tomorrow, which kind of signifies the next era of Cardinals baseball. He was covering the press conference just like I was earlier today. You read him both at KMOV.com and over at STL Sports Central. He's also part, does a lot more for STL Sports Central, some of their video content with their Cardinals shows during the day and the postgame shows and everything. He's a good friend, Brendan Schaefer. You follow him on Twitter at BSchaefer12. Brendan, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I will let everybody know that you had to get out of child putting to bed duty to be able to do this interview. So thank you for just ignoring your child to be able to do this.
No, I was actually, we were in the backyard throwing pitches and we had to have a bullpen change happen there for that. So we're good for a little while.
Okay, very good. Very general question, and then we'll lock in a little bit. What struck you from what was said today by John Mozeliak?
You know, it was very reflective in the nature of it. And I think that makes sense, knowing that there's another press conference looming for tomorrow. And that's the one that may be more instructive for Cardinals fans about the future of the organization and the direction that things will be heading under Heim Bloom. But for Mozeliak, a guy that, I mean, his service in the Cardinals organization spans just about my entire lifetime with how long he had been with the team. And, you know, for almost 20 years as the head baseball executive, the GM, and then elevated to the Pobo title, like, that's deserving in and of itself of Mo to have the opportunity to say goodbye, prepare anything he wanted to say, and be able to part on those terms. And reflecting on the fact that there was certainly more good than bad that happened under John Mozeliak's tenure, but obviously, and he acknowledged it in his opening remarks, Matt, that I thought was interesting, where he said, the question's been asked of him, why step away now? Why is now the time? And acknowledged, kind of hearing the drumbeat get louder as far as maybe the organization needing that new voice and that fresh leadership, and just kind of understanding that now might just be the best time for all involved. So I think just him kind of acknowledging maybe some of what fan base has felt for the last couple of years, I think was sort of the closure that everybody's looking for before a new chapter begins tomorrow.
There was a line of questioning. You were involved in it. Kind of looking back at this season, could have they done less at the trade deadline? Could have they done more at the trade deadline? Are there regrets on not adding to the roster before the season when you see what happened with the Reds sneaking into the postseason? It seemed like Mo was very much in a no-regrets mood. Were you surprised at all by anything he said?
I wasn't surprised by that, and it was. He even said, I don't have any regrets. I think part of it, too, is you got to realize maybe the extent to which they, he even joked with a question asked by Daniel Guerrero where he said, my hands were tied, and kind of laughed it off. But, I do think to an extent there were decisions that were made to try and just sort of keep the status quo and allow for the maximum flexibility when it comes to roster matters for Heim Bloom when he comes in. I think that was certainly accomplished. Did it leave a little bit of meat on the bone? I think there are some times you could look back and say that maybe that happened. Did we know that it was going to be that attainable at the very end? And just how close the Cardinals would come going into the final weekend, really just having been eliminated? Yeah, maybe we underestimated just how kind of mediocre the situation could be there in the National League wild card chase. But yeah, it didn't seem like there was anything to regret from Mo. And I think Cardinals fans may hear that and kind of roll their eyes a little, but I would just remind people that I think there was always more going on behind the scenes as to how they wanted to set up this next iteration, that it wasn't going to be a go for it year. There were certainly moments that I thought they should have done some things differently to maximize their chances to win. But ultimately, I think it was more of a bigger picture type of year in the way that Mo and probably ownership wanted for him to approach it.
Shouldn't we have arguably seen that coming when spring training got started and they weren't able to work out a multi-year deal with Brendan Donovan? I mean, that just seems like that's a classic keep the palate clean type decision for Heim Bloom.
Yeah, I think it goes all the way back to that. And, you know, at the time we would look at Donovan and probably would have looked at Lars Nootbaar and said, like, okay, it's kind of that year to show it, show the durability, show the consistency, and then, you know, it should be rewarded, I think, with extension offers coming right around this time. Now, the rhetoric and the reporting that we have seen, maybe it will be confirmed tomorrow, about maybe leaning in a little bit harder to the concept of a rebuild than they certainly had the desire to discuss or do within the context of 2025. Does that change things for a guy like Brendan Donovan, who I do think proved just about what you would want to see to feel like he's a guy to build around? But if the Cardinals are just at stage one of building, Matt, and aren't necessarily picturing adding from the outside and really going for it within the next couple of years, does that completely change the tenor for what Donovan's situation is? I think that was just one of several examples where the Cardinals weren't going to do anything significant to alter the course of what decisions could be made by the next regime.
Yeah, I thought the most notable thing that was said by Mo today was he said, you know, there's never been a rebuild in my tenure, but that may not be the message you hear tomorrow. And to me, that he knows what the message is going to be tomorrow. So I feel like there's a little bit of a telegraph going on right there with what's being said. That makes me feel like we might hear that rebuild word coming up tomorrow with Heim.
Yeah, I do think that you'll hear it. And I think, like, there's sort of layers to what that really means. One layer is, I think, an obvious layer in what's been reported over the last week. Like, we're back to square one with those veterans that have contracts and letting those guys know, like, hey, I know you've got a no trade clause, but this is how it's going to look the next year or two. For Sonny Gray, for Nolan Arenado, and even for Wilson Contreras, who seems to be, of the three, the guy that's most likely to stick around with the Cardinals based on his own personal preference. But, like, that's stuff that I think just makes general sense if you're really not all in on next year. Maybe you can get some money off the books. Maybe you could, what I would like to see is redirect some of that money that you may save via trade and try to find a different way to plug a hole or two on your roster. But if it's simply, you know, kind of taking that step back and really diving into the rebuild concept, what does that end up meaning for the team production the next couple of years? And beyond that, if you're going that far, are you going to take it even further with guys that have real trade value because they aren't to free agency yet and have a couple of years of team control, if not more? Like, the extent to which they really want to tear this thing down through offseason trades is going to be interesting to see. We may not get the full answer to what that looks like tomorrow, but hopefully we do get a better idea and can glean from some of the answers that Heim Bloom will have to those questions.
Those three guys you mentioned have all changed their stance a little bit. Arenado has said he'll put more teams on the list of teams that he'd be willing to move to. Sonny Gray has been open about the fact that he would be open to a trade, even Contreras, while saying, you know, he'd like to stay in St. Louis. He would at least listen if there was something that was made sense that was presented. All three of those stances, Brendan, are different from what they were saying just 1 year ago.
Yeah, Arenado was pretty exclusive with it last year, to the point that, you know, a team that was actually on his okay list ended up having a trade in place for him, and he said no to that. So that's, you know, definitely a change in stance, and it's partially, I think, due to his own performance. Like, he wanted to bet on himself a little bit with a bounce back year and be a little bit more picky, thinking that down the road he would be able to have the situation materialize that he might prefer. But his numbers went down this year and he, you know, had some injury issues. And so the extent to which he has the leverage now is very much in question. With Sonny Gray, it makes sense because he signed that 3-year contract and said, man, I'd only been here 1 year. Let's kind of let me get my bearings a bit and see where this thing goes with the talent we have in the room. But the Cardinals fell short, and it doesn't seem like they're itching to, you know, turn it around immediately when you're talking about a rebuild. So for Sonny going into the final year of a deal, I think it makes perfect sense for him to be somebody that would definitely be open to a trade to a contender. And he should have some value. I didn't think he pitched his best this year, but still a solid season from him. And there's going to be a team that, even if the Cardinals have to eat some of that money on the $35 million, I think can certainly provide some value. And then Wilson's the one where, like, I think he wanted to stay and still would like to stay, but sees the writing on the wall and isn't going to rule anything out. And that probably makes sense. I hope he stays personally, because I do think the Cardinals need some guys like that in the room to, you know, continue ushering in the next era. But at the same time, it's somebody that you probably could get some value for as well, because he's played well, he's hitting well, and I think that plays into it too.
And then almost assuredly, some players from the group of Newt Barr, Gorman, Donovan, Burleson are going to get moved as well. And we've known that all year long.
Yeah, and that was something that that was kind of the genesis of my question to Mo, wondering could they have done a little bit more at the deadline, and was the reason they didn't just to keep the slate pretty clean for the next guy. And he said if something was compelling, they would have, you know, considered it and probably had that conversation, but nothing was really that imminent. But yeah, those lefty bats that all have still a little bit of team control remaining, you try to sort through and figure out exactly, you know, who might have the most value. But is that the guy to trade? If the guy with the most value is maybe better served just sticking on your team, how do the Cardinals under Heim Bloom view that? It's going to be very interesting to denote just how far they want to go with it. But man, the one that really screams out to me, and I'll be eager to listen to the answers about tomorrow, is specifically Brendan Donovan, just because I think in any other era of the DeWitt ownership, Matt, we would be seeing the Cardinals extending Donovan this offseason. Like, it's the timeline that would make sense if the Cardinals were operating business as usual. But we know that's not the case. And so how much of a change in that sort of mindset ends up happening with relation to a player that I think a lot of Cardinals fans appreciate what he brings to the table, both on the field and in the clubhouse.
Final question for Brendan Schaefer. You read him at KMOV.com and also a part of the team at STL Sports Central. Knowing full well that even during a rebuild, a team can sneak into the playoffs, that they were just barely out this year. You don't have to overachieve that much to get to a playoff position. Knowing that, and we'll see what happens moving forward, they've gone 3 years without being a playoff team. If they're really embarking on a legitimate rebuild that could take 2 or 3 years, do you feel like Cardinals fans are ready for a 5-6 year playoff absence?
No. No, I've said all along that I just don't see the stomach or the appetite for it. People say that they're tired of being in the middle, but I think what really Cardinals fans want is to, you know, see the homegrown talent be able to emerge and be able to produce star caliber players that can then get the Cardinals back to where they're on the cusp, and you use free agency to add. And ownership has always been willing to do that. But did they get so far behind the eight ball here where it's going to take a little bit to ramp it back up? My ideal would be that you've got a couple of pitchers. It's really all about the pitching, Matt, because yeah. I think the lineup is going to be pretty similar next year, and there's still some younger players that could mature and develop. But on the pitching side, like, if they don't want to spend in free agency, I don't know what that 1-5 looks like, especially if you're offloading a Sonny Gray this offseason. So just to maybe make a couple of savvy moves in free agency, maybe of that Phil Maton tier, but when it comes to some starting pitching, that could really go a long way toward keeping the Cardinals competitive. But I don't know if their goal is to keep it afloat or if it's just to kind of let what happens run its course as they build it up from beneath, which, like you said, could take several years. And I just don't know if we're talking about 9,500 losses in St. Louis for the coming seasons. I just don't know how Cardinals fans are going to enjoy that. I think I do know, and it's not going to be pretty if it ends up going that way.
Yeah, if Gray's gone, Liberatore and McGreevy are the only foregone conclusions in the rotation at the start of next season.
Yeah, and then you figure out Pallante, but his performance has certainly waned. Kyle Leahy, I love that they're talking about trotting him out as a guy in spring training that can vie for a rotation spot, but I just don't know, when you think about like a Quinn Matthews and a Liam Doyle, are they ready to jump into a rotation next April? I think it could maybe be a little bit longer. And if they're really, you know, worried about trying to win as many ball games as they can, they'll spend the $5 or $7 or $12 million to get some pitching. But if not, if it's really going to be lean times, yeah, you're going to be waiting on those prospects for promotions. and hoping that it works out. Yeah. Because, Matt, not every rebuild just turns into the kind of pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So this is one of the most interesting moments in the Cardinals org for a while, seeing what Chaim Bloom has to say tomorrow.
Pirates have been rebuilding for 20 years, and it hasn't mm-hmm. worked for them. He is Brendan Schaefer. You follow him on Twitter at bschaefer12. Read him over at KMOV.com. Also read him, see him at STL Sports Central. Brendan, I assume I'll see you again tomorrow. So have a wonderful evening, and we'll be back at it in the Busch Stadium press conference room tomorrow.
Sounds good to me, Matt. See you tomorrow.
All right, very good. That's Brendan Schaefer joining us here on the program. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. I wanted to open it up to you a little bit, and I do want to, not to tell you what you have to say, but kind of the topic that I want to go with, thoughts on what Mo said today. Do you have thoughts? Maybe nobody has thoughts. You know, people do have John Mozeliak fatigue. I understand that. I get that. But just based off what he said today, maybe it is the thing that I pulled out, where he kind of has telegraphed a legit rebuild. Maybe it's something else. If you've got thoughts on what Mo had to say today, you can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, just leave a comment in the chat, and we will get to you. We've got more coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back out on KMOX, it's the Graybar Sports Open Line. We're talking through some of what John Mozeliak had to say today. If you want to chime in, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, tweeting at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or leaving a comment on the chat on the video stream. Let's start with Morton, who's giving us a call. Hey, Morton, you're on Sports Open Line.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you on the phone.
Yeah.
I have two comments, please. Number one, many of my friends do not understand why Mozeliak was still with the organization, being a lame duck president for the last year, instead of building immediately when Bloom was announced that he was going to become president. And also, I know I know Bob Melvin was let go today, and he was an experienced manager, and I realize the team's only as good as the players, but he was only there for 2 years. Why is Marmol still going to be around?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Morton. So let's get to the first part. The reason the Cardinals did what they did with Mo, two parts. Part number one is he was under contract through this year, and they didn't want to remove him as president of baseball operations. They knew he would be done after this year, so they got a succession plan in place, and he stayed there. That's part of it. The more important part here, and this is the much more important part, with all due respect to what was going on with the Major League roster this year, and I'm not trying to be dismissive of Mo's responsibilities this season, but for this Cardinals team to get back to contending at the highest level, what has to happen is they have to start producing high-level talent, and they have to do that through their farm system. So with all due respect to what was happening at the Major League side of things, the work that Chaim Bloom was doing to get the infrastructure put in place at the minor league level from a long-term perspective, it was a lot more important than what was going on with these Major League roster decisions. So Heim was able to focus on player development. Heim was able to get what he wanted in place. Earlier today when we were doing Redbird Rush Hour, Bernie Miklas mentioned the fact that he had a conversation with Keith Law recently where Keith said a lot of these players in the Cardinals minor league system have excelled in a major way just because the Cardinals have the things in place now, the infrastructure in place to help minor league players become closer to the best version of themselves. So I will be the first to admit it was a little bit clunky because you had John Mozeliak as the president of baseball operations, and you had a bunch of people who were hired to work for Heim Bloom who were in those secondary positions, and that seems a little bit odd. But Heim was involved when he needed to be on major league decisions, but more importantly, he was doing the work that needed to be, you know, laying the groundwork for the minor league system to kick up once again. Let's grab Paul, who's given us a call. Hey, Paul, you are on a Graybar Sports Open line.
Yes. So also, I really appreciate your program, and I enjoy listening to you. My question is, during tomorrow morning's press conference, when Heim Bloom is introduced as a new director of baseball operations, will they also introduce Yadier Molina as a new Cardinals manager?
No.
Why not?
Because Oliver Marmol is the Cardinals manager.
Yeah, I know he is right now, but would it surprise everybody if Heim Bloom decided to go in a different direction?
Yes. Like, I'm not that trying to... Oliver Marmol is going to be the Cardinals manager next season.
But he's not under contract.
Yeah, he is. He's got one more year left on his deal.
Oh, he's got one more year? Okay,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking that his contract had expired.
No, like, I'm not saying that Oliver Marmol is the long-term manager of the Cardinals. I'm not saying that's for sure going to work with him and Bloom. I think it probably is. I think they're going to be work well together, but there is not going to be a managerial change going into next season, Paul.
Do you think that's a good decision or bad?
I think it's a good decision. I appreciate the phone call. I'm an Ollie guy. So people who are not Ollie guys are going to disagree with me. People who like Ollie are going to agree with me. And we've done the conversation for a while. I like Oliver Marmol. I don't think he's a perfect manager. There's stuff he does that I disagree with. We bring up all the time the things that he does that that I respectfully disagree with him on. But I am excited. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to see how Ollie does when the head of baseball operations is different than John Mozeliak, because I think a lot of the stuff that got blamed to Ollie was part more of some organizational standpoints, and that's going to look different moving forward. And I'll say, look, is there a scenario where they get into this season, and now that Heim and Ollie are in the trenches together, that the two sides say, you know what, this isn't working, and they move on? Yeah, there's a possibility. I hope that doesn't happen because I like Ollie, but I'm open to that possibility. If they have a 70-win season next year, even in a full rebuild, how much tougher does that make it? Like, to many, there are some public relations aspects to bringing back Ollie that are not fantastic. But I like Ollie. I think he's a good manager, and I think it. I'm intrigued to see what it looks like when he is working under Heim Bloom. Let's grab Jim, who's given us a call. Hey, Jim, you are on Sports Open Line.
Hey, I agree with you with Ollie. He's just not given anything to work with. But my point was, when John Mozeliak took over the team, we had one of the best minor leagues in baseball that Walt Jocketty built up. Mm-hmm. How do you expect to win when you're not producing good players? I think they're almost pretty close to dead last.
Well, not anymore. They jumped up big time in the last 2 years. They're a top 10 minor league system now, Jim.
Yeah, and you know what? And they're going to have to spend money. They're going to have to go out and get, or we're going to be, you know, I don't know if you remember the 90s. I don't know if you lived here.
Yeah, I did.
When we had Joe Torre as the manager, and everybody's like, oh, get rid of him. You know, and then what did he do? Went on to the Yankees and, you know, got some players. And I just – building a minor league system is a good thing to do, but I think you still got to go outside the organization and build up too. I mean, if not, I think we're going to be sitting – sitting in dead last for about the next 5-7 years. I just don't see much of a turnaround quick.
Okay, Jim.
It sucks, but that's the way it is.
I appreciate the phone call. I have confidence that the organization's going to start spending money again when they're ready to win. They have to do that. Jim is 100% right that you can't just do it all from player development. But what you have to do is you have to fill in the back end of the roster in player development. The poster childs of what went wrong for Cardinals baseball in the last few years, and this is nothing against them and nothing against their performances, but it's Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn. When you're going and spending $25 million on those two guys combined and they're back of the rotation starters, no. Take $25 million and spend it on one dude who's an all-star caliber player and fill in the back of your roster with guys that you are developing. And in the last 2 years where Heim Bloom has been involved in the minor league system, and more specifically in the last 1 year where he's been very involved in the minor league system, the Cardinals minor league rankings have moved up in a big, big way. Let's grab one more phone call before we are done. Is that Tom? Is Tom our next one? All right, Tom, you are on Sports Open Line.
Thank you for taking my call. My comment is, I wish the Cardinals would start living up to the contracts they sign. They are always so happy when they steal these guys from other clubs and they're paying most of the salary. And then when they get older, and it's naturally going to fall off, maybe to a lesser degree, but it's still Cam Fowler's not going to be the player 4 years now he is today, but the Blues realize it. In 4 years from now, they're going to stand behind that contract or to release him and pay the money. And that's what the Cardinals need to do. They can't just keep signing these contracts, and then when it gets to the end where they're going to pay for it, start whining to all of us. You know what I'm saying? Think about it before you sign the contracts. We don't have to go through this again.
I think they're only trying... They're in a rebuild right now. If they were in a competitive window right now, they wouldn't be trying to move on from a Sonny Gray, who's who I'm guessing you're specifically talking about here.
No, I was really talking more about Arenado and Goldschmidt, because then they get sweetheart deals when they got those guys to where the Rockies were paying most of the money, I thought.
Yeah, Goldschmidt's contract came up. He left as a free agent. And yes, you're right about Arenado. But it's also a point in Arenado's career where he wants to probably be somewhere where he's got a chance to win a World Series. He is a declining player. He's not worth the money that they're paying him anymore.
I agree with you, but they shouldn't have signed a contract with him then. You know, you have to live up to the contracts you sign, and they won't do that. They say, well, we're going to play him regardless, instead of being men about it and saying, we have to kind of eat some of the salary because we made a bad decision to sign him to this contract. Not that he's made a bad decision. He's not playing as good. You have to take some responsibility also.
I mean, to be fair, the Rockies signed to that deal. They added one more to make it work with the Cardinals, but it was a Rockies contract. But I get what you're saying in that. I got to get to break, so I appreciate the phone call, Tom. This happens. If you're not in a competitive window and you got dudes who are making lots of money and they're not living up to their contract, you move on from them. Happens in baseball, happens in football, happens in every sport. And you might not like the optics of it, but it's the way sports works. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program, it's the Graybar Sports Open Line. Chris Trevino is going to join us just after the 7 o'clock news. We'll talk all things Mizzou football with him. Just a few more moments here in hour number one. Got a message on the stream asking how much money will the Cardinals probably have to eat of Sonny Gray's contract if they trade him. I think it depends on what you're getting back. I would argue that Gray is still a really good pitcher, and he's got 1 year left on his deal. And the old adage is there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract. So if you can get somebody to eat the entire contract and you feel pretty comfortable with what the return is, I'm sure they would prefer that. That being said, if you do have an opportunity to get a more high-level prospect and it's going to cost you a few bucks to do it by eating some of Sonny's contract, I think you have to do that. And that's probably where they're at, and that's going to be one of the interesting things that plays out. This is an organization right now that wants to add as much talent as possible into the minor leagues. That's what they did during the trade deadline. I had to chuckle because the day after the trade deadline, everybody was talking about how the New York Mets had this incredible trade deadline and how they barely gave up anything for all the pieces that they got. And we saw them really struggle, and we saw them with a huge payroll not make it into the playoffs. And some of the guys that they traded away had nice starts with their new organizations. So, yeah, you don't always judge things based off how things look the day after. Sometimes it takes a little while longer. And for the Mets, we can judge their trade deadline now because they missed out on the postseason. We'll see what those players that the Cardinals got for Helsley, what that ends up looking like moving forward. Garland sends in a message, says that the Cardinals have player issues, not a manager issue at this time. And also another message saying that they'd like to see Ollie get an extension. I've had a bunch of conversations with people about that recently because, generally speaking, you don't want a manager to go into a season as a lame duck manager. If there was ever a time for that to happen, though, I'm actually comfortable with it here. And if the Cardinals choose to give Ollie an extension, that's fine. And honestly, it doesn't mean anything. All it means is that if you move on from him at some point, you might have to pay a little bit of a buyout. So if they want to give him an extension, that's fine. But I think this is, like I said earlier, this is the year where Ollie and Haim figure out if this is a good partnership, a good marriage between the two to be able to work together in what the Cardinals are trying to get back to. And if it is a good situation, then you talk to him about an extension. If not, that's where you make the decision to part ways. Text message coming in says, do I see the Mets firing their manager or their president of baseball operations? And says perhaps Albert headed to the Big Apple. They've already said their manager is coming back. And no, they're not going to move on from David Stearns. David Stearns is a highly respected president of baseball operations. Absolute failure to finish out the season for the New York Mets, not giving anybody a pass on that one. But Stearns is good at his job. And honestly, you just got to let him do his job. That owner is a meddling owner. And yeah, even bringing in Juan Soto, who is very productive, that didn't seem like a David Stearns type move. So I would think that just let David Stearns do his thing and the Mets are going to be fine moving forward. But they're not in the playoffs this year. We're going to talk with Chris Trevino. We'll talk Mizzou football. That's coming up in just a moment here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.